Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Let's first Torah.
She has passed away.
Bemet?
Yeah, she passed away.
Okay. So let's learn Torah this word. Lingua Nishmat. Everybody who's recently passed away in this recent wave of attacks. And before Shlema, those who were injured in these attacks. And then we have Shalom. Let's learn Torah now. This sheet, if you look at it, is mostly halachot that I selected from the chapter Shmira Shabbat Kilchata on Borer. And for each of them, we're going to go through and show how you can properly sort without violating the block. Because remember, we said, in order to be Borer, or in order to not be Borer, let's say, in order to not be Borer, you need to fit three categories. It needs to be miyad, good.
With your hands, miyad.
Miyad, and? Good for bad. Both of them we so. Okay? So now we're going to go through a bunch of examples where we can see these factors at play, and eventually I'm just going to move faster because you're going to all catch on and figure them out on your own. Okay? Before we get to them, let's just look at two points made by the Mishnah Berurah. First, the Ber Alacha Siman Shin Yatet, the Ramach Labor Psolet. He discusses something, and I bring this up really so there's a camaraderie of Lomdei Halacha. In that, if you go up to people who are learning Hilchot Shabbat for their Spicha test, and they say they're learning Hilchot Borer, there's a key word you're supposed to say to them. There's a brotherhood among people studying for the test. And that is that they have to know the shita of the Mahari Tats and the Mahari Abulafia. These were two rabbis who I've seen quoted in Shulchan Aruch, maybe. I haven't completed all the Shulchan Aruch, but I've seen their names maybe three, four times in Shulchan Aruch. They've come up a few times, but this is where they most come up. And this is probably the first time most people come across it. And it's very surprising because you haven't really heard these names, at least I haven't. And therefore, everybody, when you're learning Hilchot Borer, you go up to each other. Oh, you're learning Borer? Mahari Tats? Abulafia? Mahari Abulafia? So it's like the secret code, the shibboleth, between people learning Halacha. So that way you can walk out of this yeshiva because your year is ending, you know, South African summer, and the sun is coming up. So you can walk out of here knowing the secret code for Hilchot Borer. You know Miyad, Miyad, and Ocho Mitah Psolet, and now you're going to know Mahari Tats and Mahari Abulafia. Here we go. Yesh listavek im shem borer munach dafko kishiborer mikodem umachin lechol ha'alter. Is borer specifically when you store something and not when you use it right away? Aval im be'era achila kufa shelchiz b'yado v'rotzeh lechol motzi ha'psolet umashlicho lo shayach borer af shel sed davar zeh. So here's his discussion. Ready? Let's say I prepare something for use soon. That's the problem. But if I eat, it's not a problem. Even if what I'm doing isn't actually eating. Let's explain. I can bite off a lot and then do borer in my mouth and then set it aside to eat soon? Or is it only okay when I'm actually eating? Let's read it inside. In be'eid achila, the time you're eating, gufa, the actual time you're eating, shel chayz b'yado, you're holding in your hand, v'rotzeh lechol, and you want to eat, motzi apsolin u'mashlicho. So can you at that point, as you're about to put it in your mouth, you see something you don't want to eat, can you remove the bad thing before you put it in your mouth? Lo shay, and therefore lo shay borer, af she osa davar zeh kodem achila, even though you are doing it before you eat it, dezeh derech machol, that's the way it's considered eating, odilma lo shna. So it's clear to everybody that if you were to pull out the bad from the good before the meal, even if you're going to eat it soon, that's not allowed. What about if it's on the way into my mouth? Can I pull out the bad thing here? The other possibility is that no, you can't. And what do you have to do? You have to put mouth, eat what you want, and then spit out the bad part. That's the discussion here. You can spit it out only once you've eaten it. Or you can do it as long as you take some of the good with the bad. In other words, I see this big apple here. Half of it is bad. So I'm going to take 3/4 of it and remove it and only eat 1/4 of it. And therefore, since I'm removing 3/4 and only half of the apple is bad, so there's 1/4 that's good, so I'm not getting rid of the good with the bad. I'm just cutting my apple in 2 pieces.
How do you determine which is being chosen? I.e., how do you choose which one is being sorted? Because
which one are you about to put in your mouth?
Is that what you choose?
If I'm about to eat an apple, and then I take a piece and remove it so I don't eat it, it's clear that the piece I'm taking for myself is the one that I'm going to eat, and the piece I'm removing is the one I'm not going to eat. And therefore, the one I'm not going to eat is bad.
So what's the bottom? You're separating the ochal from the sod, no?
No, because I'm removing the bad. But here, I'm taking the bad with some good with it, and that can be okay.
Can you not do it the other way around? You're removing the good to eat it.
You're not removing the good to eat it. The good is remaining. If there was an apple on the table, and you were to slice off a piece of good, and then take that piece and eat it, then what you're saying is correct. Here, the piece is about to go into your mouth, and before putting it in your mouth, you decide to remove a chunk of it. That's removing the bad from the good. Okay, that's the difference. So, this is the Bar Halacha's question. Matzati b'sefer Pirkei Yosef shechatav shenechleku b'davar mahari abulafya u'maharit tzahalon. Shemari abulafya mekel u'maritatz oser. U'mitamze, because of this, oser la'ushlichat zvob min hakos elen kein yishbo kamkein zat mashkeima. And from this halacha we learn, because we pass it like the Maritatz, that is Oser, that we have to throw away some of the good with the bad. In other words, we don't expect you, because there's a fly that landed in your soup, and now you can't remove the fly, because that would be separating bad from the good. That's not fair to make you eat soup with a fly, in addition it's Oser. So, we need to have a way for you to remove the fly from your soup or your drink. And what's the solution? You take the soup with a fly on your spoon. And you dump that whole spoonful. That way you're getting rid of soup and a fly, and nobody can say you're separating bad from the good. You're just taking a small portion of your soup and moving it. Yes?
How much do you have to take with the bad? How much good do you have to take?
Enough that you see it, that it's there, that it's good.
So a teaspoon of soup.
Okay, maybe a teaspoon. Well, we're going to give an example in a second where you can discuss the sticker on the challah, and you'll see there. Okay? Fine, now you've seen Mari Katz, Mari Abulafia, and the Mishnah Berurah paskins la'alacha, just like he did in Ber Halacha. Mishnah Berurah says, Al-Kain, kishenofel zvuv, v'davar achar, v'machal, v'mashke, v'yasir zvuv, can't remove the fly, fein b'yad v'kli, whether with your hand or kli, da'mi b'urah, v'sol v'yofel, that's removing the bad from the good, v'da yikach tzad, gal me'amachal, v'mashke, imo b'yizrov, take some of the good with it, and throw that all out, and therefore that's not a problem. There's no problem cutting your food in two. So therefore, cutting your food in two, and just half of it happens to have the fly in it. Or half, meaning the smaller portion happens to have the fly in it. Just like on Pesach, when we cut the afikomen, we say we take the larger half, even though halves are equal. So here we're going to say you take the smaller half, and you throw that one away, even though hopefully you're not wasting that much with it. Okay, now let's go to the Shmir Shabbos Gilchata, Halachorei Selected. You're eating meat with bones or fish with bones. You stick a piece of fish in your mouth and there's bones inside. You're certainly allowed to remove the bone from your mouth. There's no braver. So that is the best way in terms of halacha. Muskam, all the poskim. Totally agreed. If you eat the food and there's something that you don't want and you have it trapped in your mouth, you're allowed to remove it from your mouth. You're allowed to remove it from your mouth with your finger. You're allowed to remove it from your mouth by spitting out. But the solution, as loved as it is by the Poske Halacha, is frowned upon by the mothers, the queen, the manor colonists. They don't like this. It's impolite to remove things from your mouth and put them on your plate, or to spit them out, certainly. Agreed?
Yeah.
So, or for example, if you want to separate it in a way that isn't just for yourself, like it's for your kid. So you don't want to have to put it in your mouth and remove things. You can't just remove the bones. That's not allowed. Ketzad yasa, what should you do? Yachzik ba'etzer, hold the bone, v'yochal rabasar mimena, just like your solution before, with the apple. Oh, yasir mazlik erem basar mina etzem shabbat salachato. Or just separate the two. Afilu kishu mazlik ba'etzem shabbat salachato, even if you're holding the bone, or besakin shabbiyado, or on the knife. Umuntar gam mazlik b'yad achat ba'etzem, ulim shokh der basar b'yad acheret, pull it apart. Now you have one hand holding meat and one hand holding a bone. That's not a problem. You can therefore remove the entire skeletal structure of the fish. You know, when you flatten the fish the right way, you can get the entire like fish skeleton out of it. You've seen it. But now you're kind of removing the bad from the good. Therefore, to make it that you're not removing from the bad from the good, you take that bone structure you took for a second, you slurped it for a second, now it's food that you took. And now you can deposit the bones that you're not eating anywhere you want, meaning in the garbage, on the side of your plate,
like eating chicken spawn.
Like eating what?
To eat chicken spawn.
Yeah. Sure. Correct. And then he continues, the next halacha. This doesn't work for you either. Meaning he's going in order of preference halachically. Kigona ochel dag ubao adrot kananon. Let's say it has small bones, so you can't just find them and pull them out and do that. The only way to find these small bones is either to mush it, fillet it, find all the bones, or put them in your mouth and then remove them as you chew and find them. Yeshmatir masir tadrot yachanim ma'at bibasar dag adavuk behen. That's the Ber Halacha that we just read. Says you can remove them with a bit of the good with them. Because then you're not separating bad from good, but good from good. V'yesh machrim mazel, the Chazonish disagreed. Bara, gam ele noagim lahakil otzrid adarom in adag, yesh lamalim lismach. Some are makel to just remove the whole skeletal structure from the fish, and they have on whom to rely. V'hu sheyazakim mamash b'shar achilu lo nofnechem. But not to remove it in the kitchen before the meal. Like, to remove it as you're about to eat it. You can remove the bone, and then pick up the piece of meat and eat it on your plate. That's the least preferred solution halachically, but there are enough poskim who are matir that certainly, if you're stuck, that's what you can do, and certainly if you find somebody doing the wrong thing, you should not stone them, even with rocks that you designated before Shabbos, like we learned in Halacha Moksa class. Okay. Tedvav, in Koleda, and this is what you're going to discover now, that sometimes our minhagim are not only by culture and taste or practical, they're also halachic. Very often they're halachic. Bo'u v'nachzik tov al Yisrael. How great it is this minhag that Am Yisrael has. Am Kedoshim, a holy nation. That we eat gefilte fish. Let's say we take kol asikov kashashot. What a great minhag we have, that instead of eating fish on a bone, we all eat gefilte fish. Because gefilte fish, there's no bones to remove. Okay, what a holy minhag you all have. Now, tetzai. Okay, we've moved on from fish and meat, moving to the next topic, how to eat a watermelon on Shabbos. What's the best way? Based on what you just read in the fish. The best way?
Put the thing in your mouth.
And take it out or spit it out. Now the piece with the seeds. Okay, that way, there's no chashash as a rare. And Rosa that's okay, because your mother yells at you. You shake off the slice of watermelon hoping to get out all the seeds you can. But again, that you can only do right before eating it. Sometimes, watermelon seeds, no matter how hard you shake them, they stick. Again, you can try to remove them and knock them off, actually removing them from your watermelon right before eating them, and you have on whom to rely. So again, not as l'chachilo halachically, but certainly bona fide poskim are matir this solution. Next, we did watermelon. Now we're moving on to grapes. Chafbet. So you have a cluster of grapes. What?
Just don't eat grapes with seeds.
Yeah, this isn't even, he's not even talking about that in this one. These are seedless grapes, but they're on the vine. But if you look at the the grapes on the vine, some of them are going to be the kind you want to eat, and some of them are already mushy and turning.
Yeah.
Okay? The ones that they put towards the bottom of the basket when you buy them, so you don't see them. So now, choose, before you pluck off a grape from the cluster, choose the one you want to eat, and eat that. The ones you don't want to eat, leave on, don't remove. Because if you remove them, and now you want to put them aside, you're separating the bad from the good. If you're eating an apple and part of it is bad, you can remove the bad part in order to eat the rest. And again, it's probably best if you do it together with a little bit of the good. Chavtet. Now we're going to get to peeling fruits and vegetables. You can peel fruits, yirakot, vegetables, beitzim. You can shell eggs, chadome, ba'ofen, v'war, la'alan, as we're going to see in the next 2-3 halachot. Because peeling them is the way to eat them. We don't say, hey, the only way for you to get to eat this orange is by removing the peel. The peel is bad, the fruit is good. In order to get the peel, you have to remove the bad. In order to get the fruit, you have to remove the bad. And therefore, that's bad from good, and you can't eat this fruit on Shabbos. No, we don't say that. You're allowed to eat any fruit you want on Shabbos, one that's edible raw, and was or cooked and so you're allowed to eat this orange, and therefore the way to eat the orange is to peel it, you're allowed to peel it. So how do we peel the different kinds of fruits? So in Halacha Lamed, he first discusses the first category, which is edible peels. So fruits with edible peels that most people eat. Kegona klipa shel akvania, like a tomato. Oh, shel tapuach eitz, or an apple. In a place where most people eat it. A farsik, a peach, v'agas, a pear. Again, the type that most people eat the peel of. A orshal dog, fish skin, which is actually edible as much as you find it disgusting. Chena orshal of, chicken skin, which is edible as much as people tell you it's not healthy. Kol elem mutar la'asinam b'Shabbat. Because they're actually edible, you can remove them on Shabbos. And that is the way to eat it, if you want to. Not only can you remove an apple peel on Shabbos, you can do it using a peeler. Even though the peeler is really a device used to do a melacha, namely borer, here, that would be a klishmach leiser, but here it's allowed, it's a rav kufo, and it's not doing borer because both of them are good. Even to peel it and leave the peel for later, the peeled item for later. Even for the next meal, mutar. Some are machmir. Even if it's edible and most people eat it, some say to only do it right before the meal. But don't use a special peeler. You can use a knife. Okay, that was the edible peel. Next one, Lamed Bet. Lamed Aleph, sorry, the bottom of the first column. Klipa she'en anechal al Rabin Adam. Mutar la'asiyah rak b'yad o b'kli she'en miyuchah b'kach. You can only do it using your hand or a non-specialized kli, meaning not a peeler, but you can use a knife. So that's how you peel an orange on Shabbos, because we don't eat the peel of the orange, so you can peel it using a knife or with your hand. B'tanai she'yaseh zod rak samach l'sudato. And do it right before your meal. L'fikach mutar l'chmol l'klof samach l'sudah beitzim. You can peel a bunch of eggs, b'tzalim, a bunch of onions, tabuchay adama, potatoes that were cooked, bananot, bananas, v'chei naknik, even sausage. Filu b'sakin, achlo b'kli hamyuchadakach. But now with a special peeler. Mutar l'asir klipasha b'mazay adama. You can also remove peanut shells. Mutar l'asir tavin hamafia. You can remove the sticker. Hamubeket al kikar lechem, that's on your bread, or a challah, on your challah. Yizar l'asir imam amin amufa, but take some of it with it. Kedei shelo lefko b'altiyonu m'tasot shaba, because otherwise you might end up ripping the letters on the sticker. So instead of ripping off the sticker, make sure to rip a little bit of the bread with it. Then you have a question. Now is it a lechem shlema for hamotzi? So maybe make hamotzi before removing the sticker, and before eating that little piece that has the sticker on it, then you remove it after that.
Garinim,
in order to get to the seed that you want inside. It's like the peanut, meaning in order to get to it, you remove the peel. Yes, garinim is wonderful. You only have a problem when you have a big pile of garinim seeds afterwards, but that was in Alfa's books that not it. Okay. Lama Gimel, top of the second column. Kishvotech melon, you're opening a melon. Okay, we're talking about like a cantaloupe or honeydew, one of those orange or green melons. So there's an outer rind, but inside when you open it up, there's this whole pile of seeds on top of it. So in order to get to eat the fruit, you have to remove this large collection of seeds and go. So how do you do it? With tarlis open garnim shabo, throw it away. Without removing the seeds that are on top of it, you can't get to the flesh of the fruit. Again, you can do it right before your meal. Now move above. When it comes to lettuce, and some of the lettuce leaves are bad, and you want to wash the lettuce on Shabbos, and you have to wash them because there might be problems with it. So you're going to wash the lettuce, and you're going to remove the outer ones in order to get the in ones, only right before the meal. Lettuce leaves that have already been separated. And some of them are moldy or rotten or disgusting. Also, the roar and alala, you can't remove those. Rather, close to the meal, take the good ones. Wash those, use those, etc. You're allowed to check them on Shabbos. When you find a big bug, you can remove it. It is just there, it's not considered mixed. But a little bit better, you take a piece of the lettuce that it's lying on and you remove that and throw it away. You probably don't want to eat it either. Rather than just handling the bug. But usually you don't find such large bugs in your lettuce, you find tiny ones. Those you certainly can't remove alone, they really are considered mixed or attached. Again, use some of the lettuce leaf. And therefore, many of the posts, including Rabbi Ribiat, says explicitly, you should not be washing your lettuce on Shabbos. Maybe allowed, but it's too fraught with problems. Therefore, you should wash your lettuce before Shabbos. Lamechet, nuts. You're allowed to crack open walnuts, even with a nutcracker. Even if it's stuck to the nut, you're allowed to separate it. Right before eating it, right before the meal, you can shell a whole bunch of peanuts before serving it at the meal. So you cracked it and broke it to, many pieces. There's many pieces of shell mixed in with all the nuts that you have in your bowls. You have a big pile of nuts, so there's some shells there. You can't pick out those shells. Take the nut and leave the shells. Again, only right before eating it. Vaklipanim Muktzah, because they are not edible even for animals. Lamatet, candies in a wrapper. We're not getting into dealing with letters on the wrapper, we're just talking about opening the wrapper. Abala chosukariot afifot in the yard, you might eat candies that are in a wrapper, maybe one that you don't have to tear anything, you just unwind it. Vanyar mubaka, and then stuck to it. Al yotziu, yotziu min niyar ala samukhlech yilatan. Don't remove it from the paper except right before eating it. Again, chashash iser breira. Men, ayu etzlo orchimu kolif peru mishvila. You have guests and you want to peel a lot of fruit. Mishvim kvodamu chafetz leklof yotar min dalatan. And as a good, gracious host, you want to peel extra fruit. Mutar lo sif leklof fiat zorah. So even though you can only do it right before eating it, and so you're going to, at the table, right beforehand, as you're serving it to them, I'm going to peel 10 oranges and put it out on this nice tray, even though there's 8 guests there and nobody eats more than one orange. It's okay to have 10 oranges so you don't look like a stingy host. And still that is considered borer l'achil l'alter. Meaning the idea of doing it right before you eat it doesn't mean that you actually have to eat it. It has to be right before you could and plan on potentially eating it. Mem Aleph. Shnei minei perush v'nachamim zel gabizeh. You have two types of fruit, one on top of the other. Kegon andamim v'amunachim agabish zifim. Like you have a cluster of grapes that's on top of a pile of plums. V'rotza l'chol l'shizifim. You want to eat the plums. V'tar la'atzir l'amavim amunat l'agil shizifim. You can move the grapes out of the way. Ava perut rekuvim. But if there's bad fruit, amunachim agabim perut tovim. You have rotten fruit on top of good fruit. Also, you can't remove the bad fruit or eat the good fruit. So what do you do? You're now, instead of a bowl of good fruit and bad fruit, if you remove the bad fruit, you just have a bowl of good fruit. You were just mitaking this bowl of fruit. That you're not allowed to do. So what do you do? You spill out the whole bowl of fruit, and now you have a fruit all over your table. You take all the good ones and put them back in the bowl. And there, you have solved how you have a good bowl of fruit in a halachic way from an existing good and bad bowl of fruit.
And picking meat out of trodent
is delicious.
It's fine.
It might not be fair to your friends as a ben adam l'chaver,
but
yes, yes, that's great. That's the good and the bad. And remember, we said using your fork is okay because it's really an extension in your hand, just the food is hot or goody or whatever.
It's not really good and bad because even not the other stuff is good.
For you. He just wants to meet.
Awesome.
But it's okay. Anyway, even if it is bad.
Yeah.
But it's not bad. But, okay. Fine. If you look at our faucets, there's a thing there that stops the gunk from coming out with the water. So that's allowed. Because you're just taking water. It's the way the water flows. This is a real issue in certain places where there are things you can't eat in your water, like in my hometown of New York City. There's something called copepods, these tiny little bugs in the water. So in order to drink the water, you have to filter it. And halachically, not hygienically, I mean, non-Jews eat it, and the Board of Health says they're okay. They're basically tiny little bugs that you can barely see. And yeah, everybody knows about it. The way to see it is like if you put an undershirt on your faucet for a second, and you turn it on for a minute. When you turn it off, you're going to see a few black specks. When you look at the black specks, you can't even see anything. They're black specks. So you can see the black specks. They exist. If you look at those black specks in a microscope, they have legs. So we know only with microscopic eye that those are even animals. For everybody else, they're bottled with trillions black specks in their water. What?
Why is that a problem? I thought if it's like microscopic, it's fine.
But because we can see them,
yeah.
Just can't see their bug. If it's microscopic, meaning you can't even see them, then it's fine. Now let me know what it is. So Rav Schefter, heard a shir of his on Lion Torah, where he said that if you have a filter under your sink, like it filters all your water, so just like if on the way to your home, the way it is in a lot of places, they send the water at certain speeds and with pumps or whatever, and these bugs don't make it into the water, because apparently these bugs exist in the water all over the world, they just don't make it to your sink in most locations. So he says it's just like it got filtered on the way, as opposed to if it's something on your sink that you have to turn on and off. Like on my tap, there's a switch, because you don't want to have to filter all your water, because you have to replace the filter all the time. So you only filter the water when you're going to drink from it. When you're washing your hands or your dishes, it doesn't matter. So...
I do not wash your dishes with it.
Yes. So, you can... I can explain why in a different shir. Not in the Ochel Shabbos one. So, that we don't do on Shabbos, because now you're doing an action to do borer. But one where it's under the sink, where it just all happening automatically, a fancy filter system, that would be allowed on Shabbos. Okay, let's move on. Nun Zayin. I know you discussed tea, but let's just point out quickly two points about tea. First, regarding tea with essence. It's in a special kettle for tea essence. You can pour out clear tea, even though on the bottom of this little kettle there are tea leaves. Even if through the spout of the kettle there is some kind of filter or grate keeping anything from inside that's solid from coming out. But if the leaves are really mixed with everything and there's only a little bit of stuff left, meaning liquid together with the leaves, and now you want just the leaves, so you're going to filter out the... you want just the liquid, not the leaves. You're going to filter out the leaves. He says, that's a problem. Those some are matir because it's the altar and you're getting out the good through this... that's the way to do it. But it seems to me a little bit harder. Especially in the lesson of the poskim here. Hanchet, mutar lachin kos tei bezrat sakir mechol yatei. You can also do it with the tea bag. Bushi yasakim mechli shlishi bova. That's a hilchot bishul issue. And achol notzi the sakir o kapita tei bezrat kaf kapita cheret. But when you remove the tea bag from your tea, and this is a common issue that you see a lot of people mistaking, you shouldn't lift up the tea bag and let it dangle there and all the tea drops fall out. Now with your hand, you should use another spoon. That way when you take out the tea bag, nothing is dripping out of it. Because if you think about what the tea bag is, there's leaves inside. And when you put it in the water, now there's leaves and water inside. When you lift out the bag, what you're doing is removing the leaves from your water. So that is removing the bag, because you don't want to drink the leaves, you just want the water. Using a kli, known as the tea bag. So that's a problem. You're using the kli to remove the bad from the good. So therefore, the solution is, just like when you had to remove the bug from your drink, so you can do it with a spoon. So the spoon, there's water there, so you're taking good as well.
And drinking boats, same thing.
Do you drink the boats?
Yeah.
So then it's good.
So you drink, because you're drinking the boats from them.
Yeah, that's fine. Anything you drink is considered good. I mean, it might not be good for you, but that's a different discussion. But it's considered the good halachically. Samach. Mamlicha, a salt shaker. Sheesh bakushe melach. So you will tell the shtarish mal dozi melach derech ha mechsem lekab, alfa pi sheesh gushen, gushe ha melach nesharim tof mamlicha. You don't want large clumps of salt. You only want tiny salt granules. So in this salt shaker, there's big clumps and tiny ones. You can still use the salt shaker that is going to give you only the tiny ones. Even though it seems to be a means of selecting the small ones from the big ones, no, that's the way to use the salt shaker. The problem is, what if your salt shaker has in it rice? Then we might get into a problem of salt shaker being used to separate salt from rice, and that's with a kli. So some are makol, I've seen, when their rice is towards the bottom, and there's a lot of salt, and only a drop of rice, and again,
where's your rice with salt?
It absorbs all the moisture, because otherwise your salt gets clumpy.
Often put rice in this.
People put them in on purpose. They put it in rice. Don't put them in your salt shaker on Shabbos, because raw rice is mukhs on Shabbos. Okay? Because we don't eat raw rice, as far as I know.
Raw fish with rice, delicious. Raw rice, not so much. Okay. Ayin Chet. Sakumim Uravim. So, you've washed all the dishes. And now there's this big pile of silverware. Forks, knives, spoons. All in a huge pile. So now, your mother says, can you put the silverware away? So what do? You see that there's a whole big pile. How are you going to put the 12 forks in the spot for the forks, the 12 spoons in the spot for the spoon, and the 12 knives in the spot for the knives, when right now it's a big pile? How are you going to sort them?
You take the forks out, because that's good for you. And then?
How are you going to get to the forks? They're all mixed in.
Take out the handful and then you...
Good. Okay? In other words, you take one, yeah, and you put it where it goes. Rather than finding all the forks, finding all the knives, finding all the spoons. But in other words, you reach the pile, grab one. Oh, what's this? Look at that, a spoon. Put it where the spoons go. What's this? A knife. Put it where the knives go. What's this? A fork. Put it where the forks go. Okay, and that's the way to do it. The other solution, and we're going to see in a second, is to take this big pile of silverware, spread it out over the table. Now you don't have a pile of silverware anymore. Now you want all the forks. Because they're not mixed. Was that clear?
Yeah.
Okay. So now let's quickly read it in his lashon. Also, l'mainam kedei l'sader kol sog l'tam yuchado. You can't sort them in order to put each one in its proper compartment. Gam asu lo tzikol l'kelim yisum echad yachad v'nagvam l'shul v'amicham v'tashonam. You can't select all the forks to dry them and then put them in their spot. But to take each one, dry it, and then put it where it goes, that is allowed. You can also set the table that way. You know, after you wash the silverware Friday night, you want to set the table for Shabbos day, or I guess Shabbos morning, before lunch. So you have the pile of silverware that you washed Friday night. So you, again, this setting needs a fork, a knife, and a spoon. You can't do that. You can't just take from it. So what do? You take one. What is this? A fork. And you put it at the first setting. And this is a knife. You put it at the first setting. And this is a fork. You put it at the second setting. And now you have the spoon. Now you can put it at the first setting, etc. That was clear too? Okay. Even not before the meal. And this is true even if it wasn't in the pile. Let's say you took it from the drawer, and you had a drawer with 12 forks in one compartment, and 12 spoons in one compartment, 12 knives in one compartment, and you picked them all up, and now you bring them, and now you have a mixture in your hands. Well, that was silly. So now you have to do the same thing that you did. Rather, you should go and grab the 12 forks, put them out on the table where they go, and then subsequently do the spoons and then the knives, or in any order. I'm not trying to give you the order, I'm trying to give you the separation. Okay, Pei Aleph. One second before Pei Aleph, the last one before Torah, I included two notes on Ayin Chet, so let's look at the bottom source. Rishlomo Zalman actually has a kula that is quoted in the footnote here. He said, if it's easier for you to dry if you have them all separately. In other words, it's hard to dry a bunch of forks at the same time as you're drying a bunch of knives. So then, he allows you, in other words, you're not doing it in order to separate them, you're doing it in order to make your drying of them easier. So in other words, you're going to grab five forks, or five knives, or five spoons, rather than just any five pieces somewhere that come up, and you're not doing it so much as to sort them, but to make your drying task easier, so then you can select five forks from it, dry them. Now that you have five dry forks in your hand, you can put them where you want. So that was a very interesting kula of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. And again, you're not really sorting and allocating to where it goes, the whole kula of the other menagev and dry menanichom komo. That was the reason behind the ability to put each one after you use it where it goes. Okay, payout, last one. Svarim u'munachim b'murav. Books that are piled up, and there's many different books. Asor l'mainam amanat l'sadram u'mukamot barna l'svarim. You can't sort them in order to put them back where you belong. You can't be like, well, I can't carry them all at once. So let me take all the chumashim now, and you're going to go through them all and find all the chumashim and bring them somewhere. And then you're going to want to look for the next sefer, and oh, the Gemara shelf is over there, so let me take all the Gemaras now. That's not allowed. But you don't want the svarim on the table. You need to eat now. You can take each sefer separately. Just like in the previous example, where if you took one piece of silverware, look at what it is. Oh, it's a fork. I can put it where the forks go. Oh, it's a knife. I can put it where the knife goes. So too with the svar. Let me see what this sefer is. Oh, it's Gemara. Let me put it back with the rest of the Gemaras. And with that, we have gone through all of Hilchot Borer in two easy shiur, I think. Anyway, next week we are doing how to make egg salad on Shabbos. Okay? I don't mean the recipe.